You've got a few very well-known scriptures, scriptures we've read often before. The first one's in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And you've got only three words there. Go in verse 10. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10. And it says there, "Where art thou?" Where are you? Now, into the New Testament, please. Into the New Testament and into Luke's Gospel. Chapter 2, Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. It's about the shepherds, verse 8. Luke 2 and verse 8. "And there were shepherds in that country, abiding without and keeping watch by night over their flock. And lo, an angel of the Lord was there by them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they feared with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not. For behold, I announce to you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For today a Saviour has been born to you in David's city, who is Christ the Lord. And this is a sign: you'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.'" And further down, verse 15, "And it came to pass, as the angels departed from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us make our way then now as far as Bethlehem, and let us see the things that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste, and found both Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. And having seen it, they made known about the country the thing which had been said to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things said to them by the shepherds." And further over in Luke, same gospel. Luke 23, verse 46. "And Jesus, having cried with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he expired. Now the centurion, seeing what took place, glorified God, saying, 'In very deed this man was just.' And all the crowds who had come together in that sight, having seen their things took place, returned, beating their breasts," and so on. I just want to read one or two little verses, but another one's into John's Gospel this time. The end of John's Gospel, the very last chapter in John, chapter 21. John 21 and verse 21 as well. "Peter, seeing him," that's Jesus, "says to Jesus, 'Lord, and of what of this man?' Jesus says to him, 'If I will that he abide to come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me.' This word, therefore, went out from among his brethren, that disciple doesn't die. And Jesus didn't say to him, 'He doesn't die,' but 'If I will that he abide until I come, what is that to thee?' So on. And then, very briefly, in the last portion, in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9. This is about Paul that we read about this afternoon. Acts chapter 9. In verse 3, "But as he was journeying," that's Saul, or Paul, "it came to pass as he drew near to Damascus, that suddenly there shone a light round about him, a light out of heaven, and falling on the earth, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me?' And he said to me, 'said, who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise up and enter into the city, and it will be told thee what thou must do, and so on. These are all well-known scriptures. I think we've used them often before. But the first one, I think, was where, very interesting. Where are you? Where are you? Suppose you've heard the news this week, of course, that there was five men in a boat down, trying to get down and see the Titanic in the Atlantic, and the boat broke up and they've been all perished, you know. Wanted to enjoy something unusual. One of the men was, of course, a millionaire, and the other lad was about in his late 20s, and he just graduated from the university in Glasgow, you know. And as we looked into that on Saturday, they were just sympathising with the fact that that boy, he'd done all his exams, but he would never come back, you know. He was lost completely. Yeah? Where are you? But we think of this one we've read. You often know about that, of course. Think of Adam. He's given that wonderful garden. You know, wonderful place to be. And, of course, the serpent came and told his wife, you know, if you do, you could do more better than this. You go and take that. Take a taste of this. And Eve told her husband, go and just go and eat this. I've eaten it, and you eat it, you know. And then, of course, he realized that he was naked. Realized that he needs something to cover him. Yeah? Realized that he was at a distance from the Creator God. And, of course, God comes and says to Adam, where are you? And that's a good question, you know, for all of us here. Where are you? You look back, I suppose, every one of us and say where you once were and where you now are. And trust you can say, I've come into the Saviour's presence, knowing I can trust him. But these two in the garden, of course, Adam and Eve, they ran away and tried to hide. And then they tried to cover themselves with what I keep calling, you know, leaves that opened up like that. Just completely ridiculous. But then, of course, under God's provision, it was skins of an animal. Skins that got covered. Involved the death of something else so that they could properly be covered. What a thing it was. But then, more importantly, they were told, out of the garden, you know. But how wonderful. They were sent out, but we've been welcomed in, you know, through the finished work of Christ. The door's open. You can come in and enjoy God's love and God's presence. Wonderful thing to know that the question is, where are you? Might be able to answer that. Each one of us here, I can't answer for all of you, but I'm sure you have appreciation of the Saviour. Where are you? Where are we? Trust, have trusted the Saviour who can say, we've enjoyed something of God's love and God's presence. Well, we need to go into the New Testament, of course. And the other interesting thing was, I've often thought they were very, very, very interesting people, these shepherds. You know, didn't have lights up in the mountain then, of course. Didn't have things to carry for a light. It was pitch black, you know. And these shepherds would have been very poor job, you know, looking after these sheep in the middle of the night. And suddenly, here's this angel coming. These angels, you know, coming and proclaiming the good news to them. What a wonderful thing it was, you know, that you might say, why did they not go into the city? But these shepherds up on the hill, they got told, we've got good news for you. There's a baby been born to you, in the city, what does it say? Been born to you, that is, it's an individual link, you know. And you might have said, oh, well, shepherds, you can wait till tomorrow. You can maybe do, once you've had a little space after you've looked after the sheep for a bit, you can go then. No, we'll go now and see this child. Imagine that. You know, I think that was very fine. Good news has been proclaimed. The gospel has been proclaimed. And they've answered to it immediately. We'll go now and see this baby. You know? You ever thought about the baby? It was born in Bethlehem's manger. You know, you've got some young boys here. They'll know about babies too as well. All of us would know about babies. You know? Think of that child coming to humanity through God's ordering and put into a manger. You know, then that wasn't a difficult thing. Anybody, even the shepherds could go. You could go and have a look at the child, you know, and say, here's one that's been born, been sent into this world for you and for me. He's the Saviour of the world, the Lord Jesus. Jesus. So they came and they saw the baby and then they spoke to others. And it says, all who heard it wondered at the things said to them by the shepherds. Said to them, shepherd, wondered at it. You know, if you go and have a look at the Lord Jesus and learn the preciousness of who he is and what he's about to do and what he's done, you can speak to others about it and you can get God's help to touch other hearts as well. Well, it's interesting to look further on in the book, of course, into Luke's gospel. And there's lots you could read in all the gospels about what the Lord Jesus, the people he met, the people that came up and touched him behind his garment, and people asked to be our eyes opened, you know. He could open our eyes. But here's in the end of Luke's gospel. Here he is. He's on the cross. Man's hatred on one side has often been said, and God's love on the other. You know? Amazing really amazing. It's often been said, you know, you couldn't hardly get a more cruel thing to crucify, to execute somebody than crucifixion. Yeah? Because you'd be hanging by your arms and you can hardly breathe. Some of these people that were crucified hung on for a couple of days before they eventually perished. But it wasn't like that with the Lord. You know, he was there. Man's hatred on one side and God's love on the other. Yeah? And there was two or three people saw him. Yeah? Wonderful thing to get an appreciation of the Saviour there, laying down his life. Man's hatred on one side and God's love on the other. Well, here was two malefactors. The Lord Jesus was in the middle, you'll remember, in the crucifixion. And there was two on either side. And first of all, they said, oh, don't know, not appreciation of the Saviour at all. But eventually one appreciated that the one that was there was the one that could save them from all the judgment of the God's judgment. And they turned to him for themselves, turned to himself and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. I don't deserve anything. I've deserved what happened to me. But remember me, Lord, when you come in your kingdom. When I come back again, you know, remember me. And the Lord appreciated that, you know. Yes, he said. And of course, there was a centurion too. There was a man who was evil man. And there was a centurion, you know, a senior Roman officer. And he had probably never seen, although he'd been there at the crucifixion of many persons, never seen one like this. And he says, truly, this man was Son of God. What a wonderful thing it is to get that, you know, in your heart. Appreciation. This one, this person who loved us and came here and laid down his life for me and for you, he was God's Son. Yeah? Truly, this man was Son of God. And I believe, you know, that centurion had a link. When he saw God's love proclaimed in the Lord Jesus, he trusted him for himself and went on from that point. Wonderful thing that Luke gives you a touch there, that he said that. Truly, this man was Son of God. Yeah. Well, also I read a bit in the end of John's Gospel. You know, wonderful thing. This was the Lord in resurrection. You know, he went into death and he came out. Of course, later on, came out 2 days, 3 days later, and he's living. Yeah? And here's them. Of course, you remember they gathered together in the upper room just to gather for fellowship. And the Lord appeared in the middle and shared something with them. And they told Thomas, we saw the Lord, he came into our gathering. And how often it is when we do gather together and make way for the Lord Jesus, you get something precious of him to affect all our hearts. But they told Thomas, the Lord came in, and he says, I don't believe that, you know. But the next time when the Lord did come, he said, come along, Thomas, and put your hand into my side and look at my wounds. And he was touched by that divine grace. He also appreciated a living Saviour and trusted him for himself, you know. But here he is, in this verse as we read in the end of John 21. How precious that is. And after the Lord had gone away for been out of sight for a few days, and they'd gone away up to Galilee, away up to the thing to start fishing again. And the Lord was on the shore and said, have you got anything to eat, folks? No, no, we've been fishing all day, never caught anything. Yeah. Well, cast your net at the right side of the fish that's fit the boat and you'll get. You've got a huge catch. And that's true. Under the Lord's touch, if we bring him into our lives, we get a wonderful blessing. But it's not about fish. It's about a lot of other things, many, many other things. And then he says to Peter, you know, come and share what I've got. I've got something ready for you. You've caught all these fish, but I've got something ready for you, you know. And Peter comes and then he says to him, of course in this bit we read, Peter says, says to Jesus, Lord, what of this man? That is, he started speaking to him. He's looking at somebody across there. What about that man? What? Never mind about me. What about him? You know? That's not the point, the Lord says. The point is a living link with the Saviour. Where are you? Where are you, Peter? Whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, you need a living link with the Lord Jesus. How precious and how challenging that is. You know? And of course, Peter did. He did link, you know. Yes, he wrote his book as well, but the indication is at the end of John's Gospel he went on. And of course we know into the Acts that Peter's still there, you know. Very precious. Well, just briefly to think of what was said in Acts 9. Think of the person that was touched by divine grace in Acts chapter 9. Why did the Lord reach out to somebody like that? Saul on the road to Damascus. We read about a letter that Saul wrote to the Ephesian Christians this afternoon. But you think about the time when Saul was touched. Did you ever think about that? Fool going angrily to Damascus to get some more Christians back and take them to Jerusalem to get them executed. And suddenly, here's this person, a light shining out, a light above the brightness of the sun, shone on that man particularly, and Saul, and he fell on the road, you know. But he's not overcome by the light. It just shone into his heart, you know. And he says, "Who are you?" He said to the Lord, "Who are you?" "I am Jesus." Wonderful thing it is, you know, and not only where you are, but who you meet in the pathway of life. "Who are you?" "I'm Jesus." "But rise up and go into Damascus, and it'll be told you, Saul, what you've got to do." How sobering that was. He was an arrogant, determined man, and here he is, as touched by divine grace, going to Damascus, and "Wait, and I'll tell you what to do." You know? And yet there's another man, of course, you know about that. He was told, "Now go up to that address in the street, go up to that house, and you'll go in and you'll find a man called Saul there. Embrace him. Tell him that the Lord was interested in him." You know? "I'm not going to see Saul. He's a terrible man," says, "No." Ananias says, "I'm not going to see him. You just go and speak to him." And that would be a challenge if we've been touched by divine grace, that any one of us can be encouragement, whether it's people, all of us here, or further afield. Hundreds of people in the city here, empty hearts, and how much we should speak to them about the Saviour. More we should speak. And how many times gatherings have arranged to share things for young men or older men. So Ananias goes up to the thing and he knocks on the door, and goes in and says, "Saul, the Lord sent me. The Lord sent me." And Saul never forgot that, you know. Never forgot that. He went away for a wee while, of course, to learn God's love and God's care for him. But he was usable. And you think of all these precious books that Saul wrote to various companies, whether it was in Ephesus or whether it was in Corinth or wherever. A member of divine grace that reached a wicked man like him and changed him completely. Well, may our hearts be affected. May we come and appreciate what a thing it is to come and get blessing and salvation from the Lord Jesus. Well, I just want to finish briefly about maybe we could sing 234. "O gracious Saviour, thou hast given my trembling soul to know that, trusting in thy precious blood, I'm washed as white as snow. Since thou hast borne sin's heavy load, my guilty fear is o'er. Made thine, by virtue of thy blood, I'm sealed forevermore. What wait I for, most blessed Lord, except thy face to see? The Spirit is the earnest given, what must thy presence be? To hear thy voice, to see thy face, and grieve thy heart no more, but drink the fullness of thy grace, thy love forevermore." Can we sing that together? 234. Lord Jesus, how precious the thoughts we've even expressed in this hymn together that we've sung, that trusting Thee we're washed as white as snow. And too, Lord, as trusting Thee with faith, whatever happens, whatever the future ahead, we'll very, very soon see Thee face to face, along with the myriads of the redeemed, and join in that great note of worship and thanksgiving and praise to Thee. Think of the greatness of these thoughts, and we think too, Lord, of the people who have been affected on the road of the road, whether it's the shepherds from off the hill, or whether it's Saul on the road to Damascus, or these people in between, these disciples. We think of that malefactor too who said, "Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom." And the answer was that today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What a wonderful thing it is, Lord Jesus, that those who come to trust him can know the perfection and the fullness of forgiveness immediately through thy finished work. And we do pray that as the gospel goes out, that each of our hearts would be affected, speaker and hearers alike, and wherever it might go out in the city and worldwide, still the day of grace, we pray that hearts might be affected freshly and result in a note of thanksgiving and praise going out to Thee. So we give thanks for this opportunity to share the good news together. We pray Thy blessing on it and ask all in Thy precious name. Amen.